Welcome into episode 74 of Caitlin's Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and I've got a snoring dog behind me, you might hear him. Today I've got a blether, lots of crack, the swap section, me section, a Scottish section where you get your Viking hats on and your long boats out, please, and the dram section has an Ardmore single malt whisky. I sponsor this for my own business, www.energyhunt.com, which is Northern Scotland's premier renewable engineering service. And we've been putting up wind turbines this week. It pays for my laptop, my wage, and therefore your podcast. Actually, more on that later. So, get your cup of tea or your dram, and I'll let you know what crack is in Caithness this week.
Now for the blether.
The blether. Twit. Noun. Foolish person. Transitive verb. Taunt. This cropped up for two reasons. The first being that I'm reading Too Daisy, when I've actually just finished it tonight, The Twits by Roald Dahl. It's a good short book and she's enjoying her first reaches into novels. I read somewhere that if you read to a bairn it helps them with their attention span, and my flitter jib can do a bit with that. Now, Mr. and Mrs. Twit are horrible. They're horrible, inside and out horrible. This isn't really going to sound very kind, but I think I know a Mrs. Twit. She looks and acts like someone I do know, but it's none of you lot, so don't get worried. I'm glad not to have to be near this person very often. I just know them. What an awful thing to see. It's a good book, though. Bairns love it. And the second reason is that I've seen owls out hunting a fair bit recently. Now, I thought, up until I was about 22, that owls said twit to woo. Well, in fact, the first owl sees Corwick, and his pal goes, woo! But over the years, it must be easier to write down twit to woo. Why is owls important? Well, I have finally cast on my Kate Davies owls jumper. And I know that there's quite a few of you out there in various owl states. Some of you have it in your queue, some of you have it in progress, and lots of you have completed owls. It's a very popular pattern, and today there were 6,367 projects on Ravelry alone. This is a jumper that suits all shapes and sizes, or supposedly, which is good, because we all are different shapes and sizes. The instructions are pretty good, and I say pretty good, as somebody I know who made it said that she thought there was too much information in it. You cannot win. I like quite a bit of information. I'd rather have too much than not enough, not being an instinctive knitter, you know. And so far, I've made two tension squares, the first being too few stitches, and I'm actually quite chuffed with my knitted material from a hand spun. So feel free to do this unofficial, I'm not having a thread in Ravelry, owl along. So you could be my twoo to my twit, if you would like. I often do twitty things. I use Twitter a lot, where I'm restricted to 140 things, and I try to be funny and talk about craft only. And I do fail on both accounts there. I like it for having conversations with listeners. I do get a bit mixed up with people sometimes too. Some of you listeners are on Twitter and some of you Twitters don't listen. And either I know them in real life or use it as a texting tool, sort of, oh, we're going for groats for coffee, do you want to come along? Or I have found them via Twitter. Some new designers that we chatted to in knit chat and then realised actually quite how designy goodness that they are. And sometimes Twitter takes a wee taboo to itself and it unfollows some people. And if you find that I did follow you and now I don't take offence. It probably wasn't me, it was Twitter having a wee taboo to itself. I don't know what the Twitter etiquette is for unfollowing people either, even if there is any etiquette. I wouldn't thank you for trolling me, so I'm pretty much on Twitter anybody that swears nasty or is quite nasty. And I wouldn't thank you for just tweeting your shop information. This is a personal point of view. I like to read personable information and feel like I could have a conversation with somebody on Twitter. So I find if it's just shop information of, ooh, buy this yarn at this price, or we also sell this type of tea cosy, or do you want a present for a mother this month? I tend to unfollow because I use Twitter as a way of having a conversation. Other people use it differently, but that's just the way I twit. Also, please feel free to Twitter to me and I should reply to you, as I know that there's a few lurkers out there. and some people might feel that they're a bit shy. Some people are better twits than others, like say Ewan McGregor. He's a good twitter. So's Stuart McBride, he's a really good twitter. And so's Ian Rankin, actually. They tweet stuff that they're up to, stuff that they think is important and worth retweeting, and will occasionally reply to you, which is the very, very, very important part. I noted this past week that Stoke the Vast, Gerald Butler, joined Twitter officially, but he's only tweeted 5 times and he hasn't followed anyone nor replied to anyone's tweets. Really, I think his publicist for his new film, Olympus Has Fallen, told him to do it. Because he just actually tweeted about 2 minutes ago saying, hey, it's 3 weeks exactly till my new film comes out. Yeah, we know. But I don't think they told Gerald the etiquette behind Twitter. Mind you, he's probably actually just having a life. Because if you aren't on Twitter, you're actually doing the stuff that they're all telling you that they're doing on Twitter. I try to remember that about Facebook and Twitter. Have something to talk about and then tell, rather than tell them whilst you're doing it. As in, I've been on holiday, here's a couple of snaps, instead of, I'm on holiday, look, this is what I'm eating. You hate me more now, don't you? I promise never to tell you what I'm doing something really boring, such as, hey, I'm washing my hands now, and hey, I've just walked over to the couch, and hey, I'm sitting on the couch, and hey, I think I'll turn the telly over. I don't talk about food much either. As in, hey, I'm having a ham sandwich for lunch. I might occasionally say, oh, I made sushi. Oh, by the way, I made pancakes in a pan properly today, as in the WRI way. This is me going off script. It was important. I thought I was making crepes, as in pancake day crepes. But no, I actually made proper pancakes. So I made some for my mum for her birthday today. Right, back on script. I think a balance is needed in Twitter, to be perfectly honest, and all social media. What I'd like us to do, but I haven't quite worked out how to see it on social media, is give credit where credit is due to people that we admire for whatever it is they do. And it kind of mentioned this before, but the actor Richard Briers died last week. I thought he was wonderful, and I would probably like to have told him so. He was the soundtrack to my bedroom with my first audio tapes when I was a child, as he narrated Enid Blyton's Noddy books. And I've actually got them on my windowsill. I moved them the other day when I tidied up. And along with Paddington, Jack the Giant Slayer, tapes. Remember tapes? How hard is it to explain to young people what a tape is? And how you need a pencil to wind it back if it comes out a bit mental. Daisy actually got a tape in her story sack today from nursery. And she looked at it and, Mummy, what is that for? And I said, it's from playing music and stories and stuff. Oh. So different from a CD, they just don't get it, do they? Anyway, I greatly appreciated Richard Briers' voice, and it's something I would have liked to have told him, but not in a crazed fan way, which is why I don't actually tweet Ewan McGregor and say, oh, I think you're wonderful! Because really, he's just going to look at me and go, weirdo. Because that's what I would do, yeah. I mean, I'm quite happy to tell you that I think that all these different people are wonderful. And go Emily Sandys, I think you're wonderful too. But to actually send them a message and say, oh, I think you're wonderful, that's just not me. I'd like to say, I appreciate your work and stuff. I just need to find the right words. Where are we? Me, a twit. A twit is not someone we're drawn to as a rule, unless you're an owl, that is. But let's give our twits hugs and kind words, because they might not know that they're twits, and they're just waiting on their taboos. If you need a pee stop, it's time for the Daisy laugh.
Hello.
Hello section. Sandy, hello to new to me, been with me for a while now. And been with me forever listeners. Actually, I wonder when you turn into a been with me for a whiley, and then when you've been with me a whiley, when do you turn into a been with me forever listener? You can make that up in your own head. I do appreciate you tuning in, and I hope that you're enjoying yourselves. Now, we've only got one new group member, so let's make a big fuss of Cinder, who has Mrs. Incredible on her Ravatar. No kips, darling, no kips. Random hellos to SSAL for their iTunes review, so thank you very much, Peta. I went in and read them all today. Saratoga Knitting, who's actually from Saratoga, that's not her name. Yeah. Hello, I'm a twit. Natalie Servant, she's certainly not a twit. Little Red Hen, Daisy Frog, how are you doing? And Yarn Salad, whose birthday it is very soon. Happy birthday, Stacey. Well done to the American immigration for realising that your yarn industry will be in a better state now that she is stateside. Sorry, Canada. All the best to you and Dan for your new adventure. And happy birthday to my lovely mum. And happy birthday to my lovely Richard, who has a big birthday with a zero in it very soon.
What's the crack,
Citrin? What's the crack? I'd like to thank you very much for listening. But also, I'd like to thank you very much for costing me $99 last week. Yes, you did. Yeah, you at the back. Stop looking, turn around. It was you, yeah. Now, I'll tell you why. I got an email from the podcast host platform Podbean, who hosts, sits, I don't know, cyberspace stuff, saying that I had reached the bandwidth limit for my account, and I had to upgrade so that you could still download it, because they shut it down. And I was a bit, oh, no, I've got to pay $99 for that. And Richard was all, but they love you enough that you have to upgrade, that's really cool, and said, do it. So I went, okay. Now, the way I've understood it is that because you've got so many listeners, I need so much bandwidth. Thank you. It's really cool. So now, you know, I don't take sponsorship or put in a tip jar for this, but I am actually going to charge you all something for this. Oh no, get your purses out, come. Well, actually, you don't need your purse because it got all technical. My head had to work things out and it hurt. So I'm going to charge you all an iTunes review, please. You're exempt if you don't use iTunes to catch this. But then you have to go onto Podbean and work out how to comment. Don't panic, it won't come up instantly because I have to moderate. I was getting quite a lot of spam, so I stopped that. But leave a comment there as payment. I have an ego. And it peaked this week, thank you. Extra bandwidth costs me extra money. If you've already left a review, thank you very much. And you may listen on without guilt. The rest of you, get on that computer. Honestly, I don't mind at all. Richard says it was fine with the money. And I thought I could have another wee giveaway as a thank you to you all. Last year, I made some leather bookmarks and handed them out. Well, posted them generally. And I thought I could maybe do that again. So if you didn't get one before and would like a bookmark, please send me your postal address with a nice please and thank you. As manners cost nothing. And if you've already had one but would like another one, then send me a message and I'll put a different pattern on, or I could possibly do the same if you just want it for a different book, because we all have more than one book. Even if you have a Kindle like my mother but no Wi-Fi. Yes, well done, big brother. Clever, give her a Kindle, but she doesn't have Wi-Fi. Anyway, I also thought that I would give a pattern away of your choice from Ravelry up to a value of £10 for one person. And I thought I would also give away a handmade by me project bag for another person. So I will run this from the 1st of March until the last day of March 2013. If you're listening after this date, don't worry, I'll run something else later in the year. And I will Viking hat random generate the winners after the 31st of March. So everybody is entitled to a leather bookmark within March. You can get one each unless you have such as a professor in the background or a husband that requires one. But you'll not be getting 10 each, put it that way. There's bookmark for everyone and there's a draw for the pattern and the project bag. So go on then, message me. Check me out with my cool and funky music. It's Carnivores, which is a Scottish band, and Richard went to school with the bassist, who is Grant, and they are based in Paisley, and I've got a whole pile of information I really want you to tell about them, and then I want you to go and buy their albums, because they are pretty cool. They're a three-piece punk rock band from Paisley in Scotland, via Oban, one of them, and they are called Carnivores, and Kenny, David and Grant. They formed in 2008 and have released three singles with a six-track mini-album to date, all off their own label. And they are very cool. They've been touring since 2010 and they've played at Tea in the Park, King Tut's, Belladrum, Inverness, all over the country. They've got a Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/carnivores.uk. Richard has supplied me with www.carnivores1.bandcamp.com, Twitter/carnivores, SoundCloud/carnivoresUK, and www.carnivores.bigcartel.com. And if you like, say, Twin Atlantic, Biffy Clyro, kind of cool music like that, you will love them. So I can't say thank you enough for them to let me actually play their music on my podcast, but I really would love it if somebody out there, in fact, all of yous, went off and bought it. So, cool! And you will laugh at some of their lyrics, specifically the one where he says, "I'm going to dump you because I watch documentaries and you don't." And I was listening to it and I was running, and it's fantastic running music. Kind of angry, but kind of bouncy, kind of get out there and do it. And these boys are doing it, so good for them, and really, really cool music. And I know that Vic Galloway supports them from Radio 1, and they've been played on Radio 1 a couple of times now. So go them.
Coming up, it's there.
So coming up, the Glasgow ICHF Creative Stitches and Hobbycraft Show is on the 7th to the 10th of March, and that's coming up next weekend. And the next weekend is the Edinburgh Yarn Fest on the 16th of March. And I'm staying with my brother-in-law north of Perth, and I myself am going to take the train and back from there, which is extra knitting time. So who wants to meet up? Because I'm coming by myself and I'd like to have company. I've arranged to meet Beth Hall and Karina Westerman, and hopefully hang around with other podcasters such as Knit Spin Cake and Charmin Lockie. I'm quite excited about meeting both of them. All of them, actually. And you see, I can ask Knit Spin Cake the podcasting questions, technical ones, and the rest of you can talk about knitting as well. So that's what I find quite exciting. And the organisers have said that the cafe area is big enough to have a good meet-up, and 11-ish to 1-ish. And I've got plenty of photos of me on the tinternet, so you know what I look like, and I hope you can march up and introduce yourself. Plus there's cake, and more cake, and hopefully some tea. If you would want to find out about the organisers, please go to www.edinyarnfest.com, and they have a few more stall holders now. The workshops are full. I didn't actually choose to go to a workshop because I thought I would just have quite a chilled out time and spend more money in the stalls. So I'd like to highlight how well that they have publicised this on their blog. It's been drip fed, and I just feel that they've got the excitement building just right. So they've got three new stall holders mentioned, and it's Once a Sheep, The Thread Room, and Caledocious. Yeah, sounds very cool. It's fast approaching, and I realise how close Manders Fabric Shop is to Leith Walk, so I may yet go there, or I might just go to John Lewis. So send me a message if you're going, please, and if not, just come up and please introduce yourself. Don't be shy, because I probably will be.
The swap section.
Swap. I posted my package to Speco, like I said I would. I was a good girl, but I'm still writing up the thistle dishcloth pattern. I have made the diagram part, and I'm on about row 15 of the written pattern, and it will be available very soon. There's probably going to be mistakes in it, because I test knitted it myself, and yeah. But you're big girls and boys, I'm sure you'll be able to figure it out. Now, one person has answered about the future swap. Whitby One suggested pot holders, and there are two people interested now. I'm laughing, honestly I am. I'll put up a thread to see if any more of you will sign up.
The beaker section. Me.
The me section. I finished my Robin Ulrich Boss Cat. I used Rowan Creative Worsted Weight in cappuccino colour, which is dark brown to you and me. You've mentioned that a few times now. It's lovely and warm, and the pattern is lovingly written, and if you get stuck, please do ask Robin. I have Daisy and my solar panel modelling the hat. I did try fiddling the photo with different filters, which was to get the best showing off of the pattern, because it seems to be a bit lost with the yarn that I chose. I think it's a bit fluffy to show it off properly, but oh, it's lovely and warm. And it's got alpaca caca in it. I recommend this pattern to all and sundry, and any of Robin's patterns for us to come to think of it. I asked her to get back to us next time she has a pattern coming out, so we'll know and go stalk her and bye. And there I was. No knitting project. I went to my project page, my stash, had a roll around, fell into it, literally, and I found a yarn that I had forgotten about, which is always nice. It was at this point I went and did some sewing, because that's the way I roll. I had a few mending things to be done, and then Sandy came home from his art club at school with a wee canvas bag and some fabric pens. Daisy looked at it and the wee little sisters who've got big brothers at school and they aren't quite yet, and said, "How come I've not got one, Mummy? I want one, please, Mummy." And I looked at it and said, "Oh, well, that doesn't look too hard. I'll rattle that up. Make that this afternoon." So I got some of the IKEA plain cotton, made a long rectangle, got some strips of leftover pink bunny material, and rattled up a bag. I did the straps wrong first, because I thought, I'll sew them right sides together in a strip, and then pull it through on itself. No, 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 that would be far too straightforward and quick. So, unpicked it both, because I had done both of them, didn't I? So, and then I ironed in 2 1/4-inch seams and then sewed them into each other. Nothing fancy. And then I worked out how the seams on the bag would work, because, yeah, that would be just typical. Have it on the wrong side of it. Got it right. Sewed the handles to the bag. Got it right. No measuring, by the way. Oh no, we're having none of that. And then Daisy came over with an old dress that she had from when she was a baby, which kind of lurks in the craft room. I've got loads of things. I've got pretty things on them and think, oh, I could use them for something. Don't know what, but... And I've got quite a big pile now, so I really need to go through that. And I had 2 mice in this lovely old dress, and I cut them out, and I bond-webbed them to this one side of the bag. Took a pretty photo of it, and then I put it on Flickr. Then I gave Daisy a shot of the fabric pens, which, incidentally, were £3 from Early Learning Centre, and fantastic. All you do is iron it to seal it, and ta-da! And away she went. But this was on the other side of the bag. So she's got, it's like when Stinky Pete meets Amy's Barbie in Toy Story 2 at the airport, and she turns her head and says, "You love Amy, she's an artist." And she's got one side of her head all painted. One side of her Daisy's bag's all pretty and normal, and the other side, well, she's an artist, you love her. So then I got the tension square on the go for the owl's jumper, as mentioned previously. And then I got the needles and the yarn sorted for Sandy's Chewbacca jumper. I've got no pattern for this other than Sandy's measurements, and yeah, I'm going to see how I go. I've got some Surdar Shaggy scarf yarn, and I'm using some Aran wool together. I think it's either Robin or Wendy, but it's one of those massive great big balls that you get for doing one jumper. I bought it for doing Sandy's Steggy dinosaur jacket, which is by Julia Farwell Clay. And he's only got just grown out of it. This is a great cardigan, by the way, if you get your mum to knit it. She said you need a little bit of help with the triangle bits going up the sleeves and the hood, but it's a really good pattern. And he absolutely loved it, and every time he wore it, he got compliments. So I've got this yarn, and I'm doing it with the shaggy yarn to give it a bit of strength. And I'm going to do a very, very simple, because you don't need any pattern in this whatsoever. Hopefully just do it in the round and rattle up a tube, 2 tubes for the arms, and I'm saying hopefully it'll kind of be Chewbacca-esque. The Chewbacca once he's had a bath. I have also cast on the escargot hat by Veronica Parsons, which was featured in Knitty Winter 2011. I'm using again the Creative Worsted Creative. I have some tan coloured, not worsted, but should be, yarn which was bought from Tate & Style in Orkney a good few years ago and had a bit left. I made a waistcoat from it and then felted it first time wash. Remember that one? Yeah. And I've turned it into my Phoenix bag that now holds sewing stuff bag. Anyway, this hat is a cloche hat, the escargot hat, with a snail type of swirl on the side. We're talking short rows and style here. I know my Tate & Style yarn isn't worsted, but as I only need it for 7 lines or so, I thought, might get away with that. If it's only you and me and you lot that know about it, you're not going to tell anyone, anyway, are you? I love this hat since I saw it published, and I think a couple of you have one. So then I went over to Ravelry. In fact, Yarn Salad has 2. Lily, Tracy Bug and Rue have 1 each. And I've just found on Ravelry that you can filter your friends' projects when you're looking up patterns. When you go to Ravelry, look up a popular pattern, click the pattern tab at the top, and then you can click a filter to show friends projects on all projects. I quite like this, because now I know who to come to help with any patterns. Ha! You didn't know you were signing up for that now, did you? Yeah. Yar. In quilting news, I'm thinking that the next project is going to be a jelly roll quilt for a throw for our sitting room settee. My mother-in-law bought me a jelly roll for Christmas very kindly, and my mum gave me a jelly roll book which she had two of. I scored quite well there. Thank you, mothers and mothers-in-law. The book is called Layer Cake and Jelly Roll Quilt by Pam Lintott. I would recommend this book if also you were thinking about jelly rolls. Aye, doesn't quilting sound tasty tonight? Jelly rolls? Layer cakes? Cake. Stares wistfully into the distance. A jelly roll is about 40 fabric strips of 2.5 inch wide, and they're all different, but they're usually from the same collection. A layer cake is a pack of 40 10-inch squares of material from the collection. I looked that up from Wikipedia. They tend to all match, and it's a really good way of starting to quilt with. Subliminal message. I really like these. Oh, you're back in the room. I'll let you know more on my quilt as I get on with it, because I haven't started it. I've just bought the stuff for it. In the Great Scottish Tapestry news, we have been working away on it. Catherine had it home last week, and she stitched us Chanet. That's Janet. But as J's are pronounced Ch in Keithney's accent, she's Chanet. Now, she's the lady on the right-hand side who's carrying the basket of fish, probably herring, to market on her back. Now, in 1851, the day before trains in Keithney's, they used to walk up the fish from the coast of Keithness into the market at Wick, and it could be anything up to 15 miles. And they would do that without shoes on, and then when they got to the cemetery at the south of Wick, they would put their shoes on, because they were in town then. I suppose it's like me, I don't kind of dress up dead posh or anything if I'm just running back forward to the nursery or walking the dog, and hopefully not seeing anybody, but if I'm going to town, I'll put my jeans on and my posh top. And my Robin Boss cat. That's my going to town hat. Now, I think you must go look at our blog, which is www.keithnesstextileartists.blogspot.co.uk, and look at the photos. We agreed that we would name the people in the tapestry once they had their faces embroidered. And then we have backstories as well, because, well, you spend a lot of time working on them and thinking about them. It's kind of funny when we're sitting around the table, because we've taken it off the frame now and we're just working on it flat. Our teacher will be called Miss McIntosh, but we've not done her face yet. And we have Chanet and we have a Chon, which is Joan. And I haven't written all the rest of the names, but I must, because it's just wonderful when they're talking. Anyway, Chanet's hair is stitched in bullion knots. This is where you take your needle out your material. Then with the working thread, you wrap it around and round with the needle. And then you pull the needle through all these wraps and then secure it back into the material. And it's like a great big long French knot. Some people don't like French knots, but I love them. As well, as long as the thread's long enough. They give great texture, and Chanet's hair is an auburn gingery colour, and it looks right curly. And it actually looks like a few people we know around the county that actually have naturally curly hair in that colour. And she has a woven wooden basket. Catherine says she was looking outside to see what type of colour to choose for the basket colour. And then she's got an apron down her back because she would need that for the fish guts and fish oil. Ugh. And she would have a hat too, but because of her hair, and we decided that it was summertime, not that it makes a heel difference in Keithney's, but we kept it off because of the hair. Now, the previous week, Dorothy had it home, and Valerie the week before. Dorothy embroidered the hair on the wee blonde lassies, and she's put a fish embroidered into the hair, and Valerie made the cable jumper. Now, a lot of you would be quite interested in his cabled green jumper. She's chain-stitched up the back of the jumper, and then she's done a kind of plaited stitch down the arm of the jumper. The plaited stitch looks like a cable, and the chain stitch genuinely looks like stocking stitch. It's just simply divine, both of them. And they've unleashed something creative in all of us, I think. It's just lovely, and all our houses look like they've been stirred by spoons, because it's all consuming, so time consuming doing this, but you get lost and it's lovely. I finished my book bit, Remember I said I wasn't very happy with it because it was in a burgundy colour and you could still see some white through coming through. So I went back over that. And I've also been practicing my long and short stitching on a Caithness flagstone embroidery at home. And we've had confirmation that the tapestry itself is going to be exhibited at the Scottish Parliament in the autumn. We foresee some long days and hours in stitching to come because it's time is running out. However, moving on. For Mum's birthday, I made her a shawl pin from Sculpey polymer clay. I found a tutorial on Pinterest and basically you get two or more colours and you marble them together and you roll out the circle, you cut out the middle bit, so it's kind of like a big flat O, and then you curve it onto a toilet tube, put it in the oven and bake it. And the lady who did the tutorial suggested using a double pointed needle as the stick for the pin because the clay doesn't really give a strong pin, which is true because I made one for me too. Mine was thinner than my mother's and it broke. However, it looks really cool and I did tell her that the pin part probably wasn't going to last, so maybe use a double pointed needle, but she didn't know I had made it until I pointed it out, so I was quite impressed. Thank you for your compliments on Twitter. And a wee block of polymer clay, you get quite a lot of shawl pins. It's kind of like posh Play-Doh, really. Can you tell me what you've made with your polymer clay, please? Because I know some of you must have. Sarah's really quite cool at polymer clay. So my crafty cup runneth over. I hope yours is too, but not overwhelming you. I listened to Hilary Mantel's Bring Up the Bodies and, oh, wonderful. Recommend it. Listen to or read Wolf Hall first, though. I think she was worthy of the Man Booker Prize because I think her descriptive writing is fabulous. That was my adjective I came up with. And I had put fabulous darling after it. There's just so many quotes I can't now remember as I listened to it rather than read it and thought, ah, oh, that's a good one. No, I'm down at the harbour, there's no way I'm going to be able to write that down or nothing. I love my library for letting me be able to get a hand of this book easily. Now, I also took out the library a Desert Island Disc by Mitchell Simmons, which is called Flotsam and Jetsam. And it's full of facts and figures and miscellany from the Desert Island Disc programme. Now, who knew that people were on this more than once? Not I, but there was a few of them. And I opened randomly the book to give you a random quote, and on page 210 it has castaways who chose sewing, knitting or tapestry equipment as their luxury item. Remember when I did it, I decided I was going to have my spinning wheel. Well, Mary Archer would have needles, cotton and material. Richard Rodney Bennett would have a 6mm 36 inch circular knitting needle with a point at each end. I love you, Richard. Julia Foster would have a tapestry making kit. Adelaide Hall, crochet needles and wool. Heather Harper, knitting needle and wool. Dame Sybil Hathaway, Dame of Sark, would have canvas and tapestry tools. Patricia Hodge would have a supply of embroidery. Deborah Carr, wool and a crochet hook. Elizabeth, Countess of Longford, a tapestry making kit. Mary Martin, scissors, needles and thread. Wendy Richard, a tapestry to make. Prunella Scales, a huge tapestry kit, and Sylvia Sims, tapestry making materials. They weren't stupid. I think it was slightly, well, a bit stereotypical there with who was having what, but yay! Get us! Right. And I'm still loving Jane Eyre on Craftlet. I just can't wait for each chapter. Do you get like that? Can't wait to the end of the book, but don't want to get there just as much because you'll feel lost after. Yeah, that's me.
The Caithness
Signet. On to the Caithness Signet. As we've now got Gerald Stoic the Vast Butler mentioned, and I did a wee bit more stalking. This is another Hugh McGregor, I'll never be able to meet him. I'm not sure it is him or not on Twitter, but he is following people, but he's never Twittered back, and it seems to be awful good Twittering for somebody who's never used Twitter before. I think it's a publicist, to be perfectly honest. Anyway. He was the Viking in How to Train Your Dragon. So I thought it was time that we went Viking in this segment. And it's very, very important to Caithness. Plus, I got a book out the library called, and it was from the kiddie section, called The Vikings. It includes fun things to make and do, starting history book. And it seemed meant. And actually, in the prehistory part, I forgot to mention the last time we had the Caithness segment for this, that the Picts made the most wonderful stone carvings around the county. Remember I was saying that they had put up stones, standing stones, and I thought it was just for a crack. Well, they also carved some as well. And the most notable being the Ulster Stone, which was found at, guess what, Ulster. And I dream of me designing a shawl from its inspiration. But after my thistle dishcloth, it's not going to be any time soon. However, get your hats out, we're going invading. But take them horns off, because there was none of that. Right, Scooby-Doo, Scooby-Doo, back in time. Oh, darn it, can't find the dates. But it was a long time ago, before smartphones and electricity again, so put them away. Before the Norsemen came over the sea from Scandinavia, because it really just wasn't Norway, Caithness was inhabited by Picts, and it was called the Land of Cat, because the dude that owned it at the time had cut it up into 7 bits, and the person that had Caithness area was called Cat, C-A-I-T-T, so it was the Land of Cat. Then the Norsemen came over and gave Caithness and Sutherland their names properly. Caithness is from Catines, which was the headland of the Cat people, hence the dude who was called Cat. Sutherland was Soderland, which was the Southland, or maybe the Suderland, I'm not sure how you say the oo, because it's got a hash over it, like you have in Bjorn. So maybe it's Suderland. It could be. The Norsemen were from Norway, Sweden and Denmark, as I said, and they crossed the sea in long ships. Ships that were long. They were said to be fierce warriors, and they raided the coasts of Britain, and they were also looking to go and settle in other places as well. So not all of them were bad. And we have to remember this was in a time when life was tough and rough, and the fiercest men survived. The Vikings did do a bit of bad name, but it wasn't some totally justified completely. Because some of them just kind of wanted just to go off and explore, because there wasn't an awful lot that they could do in their land, because it was very mountainous and really you couldn't do an awful lot of farming like we can do in Britain. Of course, we think of Vikings now, we think of Kirk Douglas and the film The Vikings and Hagar the Horrible, and, well, if you're Nick One Geek Two's Karen, hello Karen and Maggie, Thor the Thunder God, who Thurso is named after. Thurso, Thor. So, I believe there are plenty of hammers thrown about on a late Saturday night, but, well, you can take the Viking out of Norseland, but not the Viking out the man. Anyway, they settled here, and like it or not, they stayed. And normally, Norway actually owned Shetland, Orkney and Caithness, and it was finally given over as part of a debt, and they say it could still be bought back if needed. Well, Norway, you can't afford me, sorry. Get over yourself. But I think I'll read up a bit more on this, because I thought I could do it all in one segment, and I've had a glass of wine now, so I'm needing to come back to it. They are actually a huge subject, and they stayed here for quite a long time. Their influence has certainly stayed in the name of places. And as I've said about Thurso, well, Wick was named, not quite as cool, but it was named after the bay Vic, or I don't know how they would pronounce that, but it became Wick. And one thing that Vikings did was like a drink, which brings me on to the drams. Now, we weren't going to have the drams this episode, and as I recorded the drams section last week, and then I recorded half the start of this podcast last night, I didn't know that the dram section had saved. So tonight, Matthew, if you're not into the drinking, then thank you for listening, and I'll catch you next episode, and there's only blah 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 stuff after it. But this episode, for you who are into the drinking, i.e. me, because whiskey has only got 55 calories in it, as opposed to a glass of wine, which has over 123, and gin and tonic's actually got quite a lot of calories in it, so you need to all drink whiskey if you're on a diet. There we go. But, sorry, we have an Ardmore single malt.
We're drumming. I hope you like drumming too.
Welcome into this episode's edition of The Drams. And this episode, we are going to have an Ardmore Highland Single Malt Traditional Cask Peated Non-Chilled Filtered Whiskey. What a mouthful.
It's a mouthful, that.
It is indeed. Now, This episode is sponsored by Mickey Mouse because this bottle was bought. That's Donald Duck.
Probably Donald. Can't leave him out.
Oh, he was good. I like Donald Duck. This bottle was bought on the Glasgow Airport duty free area on the way to Disneyland Paris. And they've got a really quite good little setup, haven't they?
And we had a good tasting at 11 o'clock in the morning. Oh, of four different malts.
Yes. She knew her stuff though. She was really quite in.
She was.
Yeah, she was quite she was. Good.
She kept on offering more. I said, no, thank you. It's too early. I've got to travel.
But they had an offer on for two bottles for £60. Yeah. And it's a 1 litre bottle, both of them. And we got this and an Old Pulteney WK499, which is a sort of special edition you only get in the airport.
And WK499 is?
The port registration number of the Isabella Fortuna.
Which is?
A old-fashioned, refurbished fishing boat from that resides in Wick.
Is it a herring netter?
Yeah. We'll go into that more when we actually drink that. But the Ardmore and the Old Pulteney, with the lady says, would you like to buy and collect? And we went, what do you mean? And she says, well, there's a service that the airport does if you're going to certain places, in the EU particularly, that you can buy your stuff in the duty free, such as the heavy bottles of whiskey, and then if you want to pay for it, obviously, and they can go and put it aside, and when you come back, they have it ready for you, so you don't have to take it over abroad with you. So that was quite good, I thought.
It was. We also tasted an Isle of Arran and an Aberfeldy.
Yes, and it was quite quite hard, I thought, to choose.
To be honest, I preferred the Arran.
I know you did, but I liked the peatiness of the Ardmore.
Mm-hmm. But we'll go back to having an Arran and an Aberfeldy another time.
Right, so will we start?
Well, let's talk about the box.
It comes in a roundy cylindrical tube box.
It's very brown.
It is, a browny kind of maroony kind of reddy.
And but eagles, the theme's eagles.
The theme's eagles because it says that much like the magnificent Scottish Golden Eagle, still found riding the warm thermals above our distillery, it's a lightly peated Highland malt with a final maturation in... I can't speak in it. A final maturation in quarter casks. It's very much a rarity.
Mm. I'm looking forward to trying this. It's,
I like the eagle.
It's sold is very different. I know I've tasted it at the airport, but that was such a long time ago.
It was actually. So the writing on this is in gold. It's pretty easy to read actually. And it's quite nice.
It's quite simple, it's good. Yeah.
They've gone for their main topic being the eagle.
And very informative too.
Yes. It's not just this is us, you should know more about us than we have to tell you.
Conversely, their website, I personally think is pretty rubbish. It's quite, as you say, it's difficult to navigate around, but it's a bit bland and basic, and it certainly doesn't do any favours. Mm. But I guess considering what we experienced with the monkey shoulder.
We had quite a lot of good feedback on that.
Did we?
Yeah, people remember the name, so they said that if they're in the whiskey shop in time of their lives, it's something that they probably remember, because I know myself, when you're faced with a wall of wool or a wall of something and there's so much choice, especially whiskey, and you know a little bit but you don't know enough, and you know somebody said something about it, but when somebody's mentioned monkey shoulder and made lots of monkey noises, it's easier to remember.
Okey-doke.
So that's the key. So the bottle that has a lovely embossed in glass and eagle on it,
and it's a litre.
Well, I was going to come to that because normally you let me do that. And it is cylindrical, and it's got a bottle-y kind of top at the top.
Yeah, it's very bottle shaped. Traditional bottle.
Traditional bottle shaped. It's got a kind of bit at the top.
It reminds me, this kind of sounds quite bizarre, but when they got pet lambs at the farms,
and they're feeding them
with a big teat on the top, it's kind of like that kind of bottle. So it kind of gets a glug, and then the air is allowed to kind of bubble up because you've got it upside down. So I think it would work well on an optic.
Aye. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what we should get for Christmas.
Oh, no.
The bottle has a great big eagle embossed in the glass. And then it's got a little label at the top. So they're quite likeable. And then on the brown part of covering the cork, they've got more eagles in gold. And it says Ardmore, founded 1898, Highlands. So the Highlands, again. We decided tonight that the Highlands is actually a type of whiskey, as opposed to an area, because they're not from the Highlands.
Aberdeenshire, Aberdeenshire.
Yes, dear.
It's not the Highlands.
So this is quite a heavy bottle, because it's a whole litre. Because we were in the airport, they tend to sell litre bottles, which is very nice of them. And it's a 46% volume this time. Drink responsibly, people, as usual. And
does it tell us to drink responsibly?
It tells us in German.
Okay.
It does on that at the bottom.
Next time I'm in Germany, I'll remember to drink responsibly.
So will we open the cork?
Okay. Oh.
Nice cork. Rubbish ending.
Smell like that's sweet.
This? I thought that was your clean hands. Is that mine?
No.
I was going to say, goodness me.
I'm liking that cork.
Okay, so the colour in the bottle is...
First. We'll assess the colour.
It's a clear bottle, by the way, clear glass bottle. Now, the colour is a Chewbacca colour.
Honey, Chewbacca.
That's no honey.
No, Chewbacca. Okay, I'm going with Chewbacca.
I'm going with Chewbacca. Although, it's no Chewbacca in the colour of the jumper I'm going to be making for Sandy.
It's running down the side quite quick.
Is it?
Mine is.
Oh.
But then I had water in my glass, mind.
Did you?
Yeah, because I wanted to.
Mm.
A little bit.
Well, for 46% volume, you'd think it was pretty sturdy.
I'm smelling. Alcoholic. Oh.
He's drunk on the smell. We haven't released it off yet.
Flowers. I've got honey in my mind. It must be Pete. Honey. Peat. Yeah, floral. I'm getting a floral scent. And peaty.
That's why I wanted this one, because of the peat. We also bought a bottle of the Peat Project, Port Charlotte Peat Project.
Yes, which is a... I can't mind if it's Boonahaven or Boonaclerc.
Oh, the one I couldn't see.
You can't see either of them. Say Boonahaven.
Boonahaven. No, it wasn't Boonahaven.
Say Brewer-Clary.
That one. It was that one. Thingy.
Brewer-Clary.
Brewer-Clary. Very good. And it was nice. It was a little bit...
A touch of water.
Quite a bit of water, please. Thank you. And it was nice, and we drank it with water. And ice, actually. But I find that the peat in the Peat Project is just a little bit too peaty. I was never happy.
You're not, dear. You're never happy.
No. Sange?
Sange va. Oh, very peaty.
But it's not peaty to the point of the Peat Project, is it? Yeah.
I find it quite peaty. It's nice. Still getting that kind of floral, sweet, maybe even fruity kind of aftertaste in it. It's not burny.
No, it's not Barney.
At all.
No. Who would you have round for your dram this week, Richard? He's not told me this, so this is going to be interesting.
Well, I'd have a few, actually. First of all, and on the condition that Sandy could sit with us, and Daisy, obviously, but Sandy mostly, I'd have Danny McCaskill round for the crack.
Oh, he's stolen him. I was going to have him. Who's Danny McCaskill, for those who don't know?
He's a skiach, which is someone from Skye. And he's a young chill who lives in Edinburgh, or went to live in Edinburgh, and he got a job in a bike shop and did lots of stunts on his bike. And he's now got a bit of a kind of cult following, and he's sponsored by Red Bull. I think, and does stunts and tricks on the bikes. But he seems such a kind of affable, non-show busy, just the kind of boy I kind of fellas I grew up with, really. Just sort of down to earth and likes doing stunts and tricks and jumps and messing about and jumping over walls. And I'd have him round, and we wouldn't drink whiskey. Well, we'd maybe come in after riding our bikes and doing lots of stunts and jumps and tricks and stuff.
I think you would drink whiskey. I think you would. I don't think you'd be scared of a dram.
Oh, probably not. Don't know. But we'd only be drinking whiskey after we'd been out didn't.
Long time listeners have heard me talk about his YouTube video, The Long Way Home.
Long Way Home.
It's brilliant. Go look it up.
Danny McCaskill, Long Way Home, great soundtrack, and it's got basically lots and lots of scenery from Edinburgh in a kind of roundabouty kind of way, all the way to Skye.
Aye. Including?
Including Cruachan Power Station and the dam, where I used to work for about 5 years, and I've had my own bike up there.
Yeah, but you weren't doing the stunts he
I
was.
I wasn't quite doing the level of stunts he was doing, no. Yeah. So that's my first one.
Oh, I definitely would have Danny McCaskill around.
Who would you have?
I wanted Hilary Mantel, because she
is... Oh, that's the wife that wrote that book.
Yes, she wrote Wolf Hall and Bring Up the Bodies, and I've just finished Bring Up the Bodies this week. And it's about Henry VIII and... Well, it's actually more about Thomas Cromwell, who was his advisor. And then it's around the time of when Anne Boleyn wanted to become the Queen. And she got, or he chopped off in this one. And then it's a trilogy. She won the Booker Prize for Wolf Hall, and then she won the Booker Prize for the second one, Bring Up the Bodies. And the way she describes and writes, I think, is amazing.
Fiction based on fact?
Yes, historical fiction.
I've heard about
Doctor McKay. She was in the news this week because she did an essay on royal females. And her talking about Duchess of Cambridge was taken out of context by certain members of the press, and David Cameron slagged her off. So I'm not a big fan of Mr. Potato Head, so I'd have Hilary Mantel round. And I've heard her speak, and she just sounds brilliant.
Cool.
So I would have her.
Uh-huh. Anyone else?
You say yours, because I can't remember who the one I was going to.
I would have my grandparents round, because I only met three of them. My grandmother on my dad's side died when he was youngish, and my granddad on his side died when I was four. But I do remember him taking me fishing, and it's a great memory. I remember him doing all sorts of things. I think he was a bit of a lad, like. So I think I would like to meet him now. I've kind of grown up a little bit. And my granddad and granny on my mother's side, I remember them a lot better because although they've passed away, I was kind of a teenager when it happened. And I remember playing football and going running about hills and stuff with that granddad and going fishing. So that'd be good just to see, because I don't, you know, it's a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
How about you?
No, I think I'll do me this week.
I'll do you.
So, what do you think of Ardmore? Do you know anything about the area?
No, I don't, actually. I don't, other than it's not in the Highlands.
Mm.
But we won't hold that against them. Obviously, they want to be in the Highlands. That's why they sell it away. And, they're bigger than their eagles. So, that's a good thing.
Mm.
No, it's a nice tram. I like it. I wouldn't say it's massively outstanding. It's nice. It's good to taste.
Good, because there's blooming loads of it to drink. It'll be a while before we finish this one.
The website needs a bit of work, I think.
Yeah, it's not going to make the difference to the taste of the drink, is it?
Slangeva.
Slangeva. Now, when we recorded this, it crashed as we saved it. And then we all both looked at each other and went, wasn't all that funny tonight, was it? Oh well, can't it always be funny? But we'll do it again. And then it reappeared, and I thought, oh, well, I'll just use that then. The dram itself is nice, and it will forever remind me of Glasgow Airport and tasting whiskey at 11 in the morning. Oof, two bairns hanging off me, and she could have kept feeding us, as I'm sure she probably would have. But it's not quite right when you've got two bairns hanging off you. But when we recorded it, it just crashed. Oh, there we go. I think he did it, because it wasn't me that priced it. Export to MP3, because you don't press save in Audacity. And you know what, Audacity actually kept it, so podcasters of the world, the newer version will save it rather than the old one, which would only keep it at 2 seconds of a split foot. It was very bizarre. You'll know if you're a podcaster, if you're not, blah 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 blah. So
blah 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 blah.
Thank you very much for listening. I do appreciate you taking the time to download this and listen to me. My email is keithandhiscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt, Twitter and Pinterest, and Facebook as keithandhiscraft. You can access the Flickr photos from LouiseJ2010 or via the Podbean site as www.keithandhiscraftcollective.podbean.com. The photos are down the right hand side if you want there. Now please remember and enter the competitions. Also, as your payment, iTunes review. The music was from Carnivores, who are fantastic. I think you should all go and buy their album. Thank you for listening, and please keep on crafting.
Mate, I'm not a doctor, but I can tell you're freaking out on some. How much have you taken? How much have you left? Stronger.